On this Monday of the 20th week, we begin in the first reading to read from the book of Judges. I'm just going to say a few words to kind of guide your own reading. I'd encourage everybody to read the book of Judges. It's not much longer than a long article in the newspaper. You know, it's not going to take forever. Because there's a very beautiful underlying principle there that we're going to... First, we hear today the rhythm, right? When God sends the heroes, everybody's happy. Everybody follows. When they're left on their own, it's misery. They don't follow God. Now, we're supposed to pay attention to that. Do we always need great leaders, great this, great that? I mean, what about just loving Jesus and giving your whole life to Him without anybody to tell you? Why not? So then as soon as that judge dies, as you hear, then they go back to where they were before. And they're in misery because they're under oppression and they're a subjected people. And then oh, do they ever cry out, oh, help me, help me, help me, just like us, right? And then everything gets leveled out again and then they go right back sinning. One of the reasons why a couple of hard times in life are really a grace, you know. The other point is, however, the word judge means champion, kind of. It just doesn't mean judge in our sense of the term. Though one of the things they would do would be to judge, but it's a champion. The other thing is that of all the ones named here in this book of Judges, there's something wrong with every one of them. It's little soul spirituality. It's amazing. Ehud was left-handed. That doesn't sound so bad to us, you know, but people left-handed. In almost every language, the word for left means something wrong, right? In the Latin language is sinistra. Well, what word do we get from that? Sinister. People left-handed are sinister. So anyway, if you look now and read it yourself, you'll see. You know, what's wrong with this one? You know, Gideon, I'm the youngest of the smallest family and the smallest clan of my tribe. And you come tell me I got to liberate Israel. It's a very important point, huh? That as Paul says, God chooses those who are nothing to confound those who are something. That's kind of a law, I guess. In the gospel, we've moved now. We're still in that section in Matthew, which is talking about community life. We talked about giving scandal. Remember Jesus taught us about that? And then forgiveness in community, in the church, everywhere. Forgiveness, you see. And then we had marriage and divorce. Now we have wealth. And there's the story of this fella, and he, what must I do to gain eternal life? There's implied here, you gain eternal life, you keep the commandments. But what else can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. Not just sell everything you've got, give it to the poor. And then come, and here's the trick, and follow me. That's the key. St. Jerome, when he's commenting on this passage, he could be pretty... abrupt, I guess. He says, Peter, let's get real. What did you leave? You know, fishing boat. You know what I mean? You didn't leave a lot. But come follow me. And he says, you know, Crates, one of the philosophers, left everything. Lived a very poor life. But he didn't follow Jesus. Now, what are we going to do about this, literally, realistically, this morning? How many are going out and sell everything you have? Not many. Some, we have a great example in St. Francis, and another one in St. Bernard. St. Bernard was from a very well-placed, wealthy family, and typical of who he was. The three men who founded that order were living in a swamp, in huts made out of branches. The man who founded that order, Robert of Molem, he had been somewhere and he wanted to start a stricter Benedictine life. So he went to Molem, started a new monastery in Molem, and they all followed him. And he said, this isn't it yet, we got to get stricter. And he left Molem and went to Citeaux, this swamp, and a few people followed him. Now you'd think the monks of Molem would be insulted and, you know, get rid of that guy. Good. They appealed to Rome and Robert had to go back. They wanted him back. They loved him. By the way, when he went to start this third venture, he was 90 years old. You talk about guts, huh? And so there were just a couple of them there. It looked like they were going to die out. And one day then, when Bernard finally got religion, he brought 29 others with him. Friends and relatives. So there were 30 people showed up in one day all of a sudden at Citeaux. So that's who he is. But he's someone who heard the call. What are we going to do today about this call? Is there something we're hanging on to that we could get rid of? It could be physical. Could be spiritual. What are you going to do? You know, we every day we're so blessed. We hear this word of God. Do we do anything about it? Do we change? Or do we just say, oh, that was lovely. Oh, that was a fine, fine reading today. The Lord said, well, what did you do about it? I would urge everybody, take some time today. It might not be a lot, but I got a favorite shirt I'll give away, or I'll do something. What am I going to do today to deprive myself of something that the poor can have? Think about it. Do something. Say, Lord, I want to take this really. I want to do this. I'm not called to be a monk. You know, I've got a family to look after. I cannot sell everything and give it to the poor. The poor for me are my own family. But here we are in Montgomery County, right? Which means we're in the top half of 1% of the whole world regarding wealth, comfort, food. And we hear the gospel every day. On top of all those physical things, we're in the top one half of 1% of the world. And so pray and ask the Lord, what should I do today? What can I do so by the end of the day, in some way, I have obeyed this text? You know, just that small bit of obedience can open up. There'd be lots of people could tell us. I know one woman, she started to go to the adoration 4 o'clock in the morning once a week across the street because the Lord told her to, and she wasn't keen on that at all. But she did it, and her whole life has changed. I know another woman who the priest a few weeks before Lent said, ask God what is there between you and him that he wants you to get rid of during Lent. Now, this was nice person, a nice family, but, you know, not too heavy into religion. I mean, like, they went to Mass every Sunday, but she went home and actually did that. And the Lord said, you do your laundry on Sunday. But just think of the gentleness of Jesus. You know, she's explaining this to me. She says, see, I got 10 kids, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, this is not just, you know. And so she stopped, and she did it on Tuesday and Thursday or whatever she did. And from that grew. Then she heard about Medjugorje. She'd never heard about it before in her life. They were good Catholics, but they weren't like heavy into piety, you know. And they were having their 25th. They have 10 kids. A couple of them are engaged. And when her husband said, what do you want to do? What do you want me to give you? He's a very wealthy man. He's a surgeon. She said, let me pray. Let me think about it. Finally, she said, this is what. I want you to take myself and all our 10 kids and all their fiancés to Medjugorje for a week. That's $50,000 anyway, right? And he said, okay. So they went. Now, I could go on with the story, but I don't have time. But again, you see that tiny bit of obedience? You know, stop doing your laundry on Sunday. All right, I'll try. I'll do it on Tuesday and Thursday and, And from that, I know this woman personally now, and she's very holy. And just real, you know, but very holy, just getting from that one tiny act of obedience. She said, you know what I learned, Father, at Medjugorje? I said, no. She said, it's just like home. When we got there, some of the kids liked the food, some didn't. You know, some obeyed, some didn't. You know, it's just like home. So now that I'm home, I realize my Medjugorje is home, which was very beautiful. So pray today. Ask the Lord, what am I supposed to give up? Maybe it's a resentment. That doesn't cost anything.